Alright, we're ready on Torah and T for Devarim. New book. This is the Shabbos of the 9 days. It's Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And we need to do whatever we can to build the Beis HaMikdash. We need to study about the Beis HaMikdash. We need to trust Hashem about the Beis HaMikdash. And, you know, we'll see a little bit in the second discussion. We'll discuss about the Beis HaMikdash itself a little bit. When we study about the Beis HaMikdash, it's considered as if we're actually building it. And the Rebbe asked the people do whatever they can to sort of hasten the coming of Mashiach by studying it and learning about Mashiach. And while the 9 days and the 3 weeks have restrictions that we follow, but yet the Rebbe also encouraged people to make a siyum, that's a conclusion of a tractate during the 9 days, to bring in a little bit of joy in a permissible way. Okay, so we're going to base it as usual on the Rebbe's sichas that we're learning this week, which is volume 24. We'll do sicha 2 and a little bit of sicha 3, just a little bit of the discussion over there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, this is on his day that he was a few weeks before he was passing, he went over with the Jewish people some of the history, some of the things that took place. And one of the things that he says, this is verse number 6, he says, Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorev leimor. God, our God, spoke to us while we were in Chorev. Chorev is what? Chorev is another name for Mount Sinai. It's also called Chorev. So God spoke to us when we were in Chorev, saying to us, Rav lochem sheves bahor hazeh. You have sat long enough by this mountain. The Jewish people came to the mountain on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And on the 20th day of Iyar, just shy 10 days before a year, Hashem, the cloud went up and the Jewish people started journeying. So the Jewish people sat in front of Mount Sinai for close to a year. In this sentence, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting, God, our God, spoke to us, and Chorev telling us that you have sat long enough at this mountain. Actually, the words Rav Lochem doesn't mean just long enough, but it means more than enough. Almost saying too long. You've been sitting too long at the mountain. Now, this is a little bit problematic. First of all, how could we say that they were sitting too long? I mean, a lot of nice things took place by the mountain over there, right? They had the Torah that was given to them. And a lot of the laws were given to them over there. And it was a holy place and a special place. But especially, how did the Yidden journey in the desert? It was by the cloud. They didn't make the decisions. They didn't put it to a vote and say, okay, time to move, or we're staying here. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the option, and it wasn't up to him. How did the Jews move in the desert? When the cloud would go up, they knew that it was time to move. Like this, the cloud was stationary over the Mishkan. It stood, when the Mishkan stood, the cloud stood. And when it was time to move, the cloud went up. And that's how the Jewish people knew how to go. That's how they always traveled. So what does it mean that God said to them, "Oh, Rav Lochem, it's too much you've been sitting there"? So it seems a little bit difficult. But the truth of the matter is, you know, when the Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting what took place, right? So you would expect that this that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them now, Hashem said, we've sat long enough, that we find a pasuk similar to this statement. But if you look before in the Chumash, in Bahaloscha, in which it says about the Anon going up and leaving, it doesn't say anywhere Hashem said, you're sitting long enough. How come all of a sudden over here Hashem is saying to them, oh, I've already told you? We don't find that Hashem is telling them that, but essentially, we don't find every statement that that Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting, we don't find it in the original text over there before, but how come it's only stated over here? Why don't we find this before? So, we understand here. Here, the Jewish people are about to go into the land of Israel. Finally, after 40 years, you know, wandering in the desert, and not only that, they've already conquered Sihon and Og. They got their lands on the other side of the Jordan. They promised it to the God, the Bnei God, the Bnei Ruvain. So they were just about to enter. So it looks like what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell them, look, we're just about to go into Israel. But had we only done the right things, we could have been in Israel already. You know, this is like, it finally came the time. And basically, what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell them is, yes, it's very important to be by the mountain, it's important to receive the Torah, it's important to receive everything, it's so beautiful, it's so great. But this does not match up to going to Israel. The most important goal for us is to actually get to Eretz Yisrael, to get to the Holy Land. So he's trying to say to them in this context, we've sat by the mountain long enough. Yeah, it's important. It was very good. But it's not good enough because we're finally going in now to the place that we should have gone in a long month before. Because God wanted us to immediately enter into Eretz Yisrael, not to have to wait all these things. So this is why Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them as they're going in, we're finally making it into the place where we're supposed to go. This is to build up the excitement and to reach, we finally reached the place that Hashem said it's too much for us to sit there. We have to go. And however, it's a little bit still difficult, the language, you know, you're too much sitting there, but God made them sit there, you know, whatever, it's not that they chose to sit there. But Rashi gives therefore another interpretation also, that instead of learning it's too much time at the mountain, that it also means that you're going to get a lot of reward for sitting there. Basically, Rav Lochem Sheves Bohar Hazeh is not that you've sat there too long, but also sitting at the mountain actually prepared you. It prepared you a lot, and you got a lot of good things for sitting in the mountain. It is very important for the Jewish people to prepare themselves properly to go into the land. You know, going into the land of Canaan was a whole nother stage in the formation of the Jewish people. While they were in the desert, they were surrounded by the clouds, the manna, the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem was there all the time, the Mishkan. Everything was there, it was everything provided for them. They lived a life, basically a sheltered life. They lived a life. They lived like in a cocoon. They did not have to worry about anything. Now, all this is going to change all of a sudden. As you say, you're going to live in the real world. You know, sometimes they tell, you know, a student while he's in the yeshiva and he's not occupied with the world, he doesn't really know. And then when he goes onto the world, he doesn't know what hit him. You know, all of a sudden, it's a tough world out there and there is a lot going on. So, they had to prepare themselves. So they made the Mishkan over there. The Mishkan is the presence of Hashem by them. And they made also the menorah. Yeah. Yes. And anyway, so the main things of preparation, and as the Rebbe explains, to have them go into Israel right away and to help them acclimate themselves. The Rashi brings down several main points. First of all, they had the Mishkan. And the Mishkan means make a dwelling place for Hashem. So, at the Torah was given a Mount Sinai. That was a temporary, it wasn't the permanent presence of Hashem. Shem appeared in the mountains and then he left. So that was only on Shavuos, only for the time. So Hashem made his presence through the Mishkan. That was a permanent. And he gave them the menorah, which was a testimony, because the menorah brought about the great miracle that it lit more than the oil, but it was a testimony for everybody of the Shekhinah, as the Rebbe explains all these ideas, but it's a long detail. But the important things of the time, the teachers, the important parts, Hashem gave them all to prepare them so that they can live a life of holiness when they come to Eretz Yisrael. And the message is very important over here, that a lot of times we get stuck in a certain place. And you know, you see, you know, a lot of times people reach a certain level. Oh, let's say a certain level in learning, a certain level in mitzvahs, and they become comfortable at that level. And they don't feel the need to move and to grow even more. They are satisfied. Now, unlike the people who come to the shir all the time because they want to learn more and more. But many people get comfortable where they are, and they don't pursue any further connection to Hashem to learn more, to daven more, to give more tzedakah, to become closer to Hashem. And they say we're at the mountain of Sinai. So what we learn from this verse is that no, it is very important, and there is a lot of revelation in the mountain of Sinai, but a person must always be growing, like every living thing. You always have to strive to gain more, to increase your knowledge, increase your connection, to do more. So, Rab Lochem Sheves Barazeh, it's more than enough to sit there. A person needs to keep on going. So, Rashi over here is basically telling us that the simple meaning, you're sitting too long, is a little bit hard to understand because they weren't really sitting by their choice. Hashem brought them there. It's more to express that we don't even find in the Chumash in the past that Hashem really told them this, but it's more telling them, you know, you sat long enough here, it's time to move on. We have to keep on going, notwithstanding all the greatness. And the Rebbe further talks about also in the other sikha, the Rebbe talks about also the cities that they conquered. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them all this, it leads up to later on, the next parsha of next week, which Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem that he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So while he's telling them, you know, you've sat long enough here, he was building it up to saying that Hashem wants to bring you to Eretz Yisrael because there's nothing as great and there's nothing as important as being in Israel, to do the service of Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land. And he's all demonstrating to them how Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them how, while it's nice to sit in the desert, but the goal of everything is to be in Eretz Yisrael. The goal of everything is to make the world, not to be in a desert, not to be separated. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was begging Hashem that he wants to go in Eretz Yisrael. Now, while they were already on the other side of the Jordan, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to wage the war against the two kings over there, and Moshe Rabbeinu already gave the plot of land on the other side of the Jordan to the sons of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. He gave them. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that perhaps Hashem has allowed him to go ahead and enter Israel because he's already started the process of entering Israel by waging the war over there. But Hashem did not let him at the end. But that we'll wait for next week. But in this week, it says, in Pasuk Dalet, it says that they captured all the cities. There was no cities that they didn't capture. It was 60 cities. In the Pasuk it says, Kol Chevel Argoiv Mamleches Oig Baboshan. Oig, in the place of Boshan, that was that whole area. They took the entire section of Argoiv. Now, what does it mean exactly they took? That is what they conquered before they went to Israel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting, that they countered the whole area of Argoiv. What exactly Argoiv means? Does it mean palaces? Does it mean oil? It's a very interesting discussion. Oil and palaces, how does it get together? What are the two interpretations? The Rebbe brings down in the talking about building the Beis HaMikdash a little bit in the Tractate Midos, it says that there was one of the rooms over there. The rabbi said he can't remember what it was used at. What did they use at? So he answers that they used it for wine and oil. They used to store it. Now, in the temple, they needed a lot of wine. Every day there was libations of wine with the korbanos, the various korbanos. They also used oil for various minchas, various things. They always used oil. So there was a room that was designed for wine and oil. But, and the Mishnah talks about this place over here, Argoiv, or it's called Regev. In the Mishnah, it's called Regev, Reish Gimel Beis. In the Pasuk, it's called Argoiv. Now, the Rebbe's father, you're not going to find this anywhere else. If you look, what is the meaning of the word Argoiv? Rashi says it means palace, Rashi says. But you're not going to find anywhere else. But the Rebbe's father, we do find the word Regev, Reish Gimel Beis. The Rebbe's father says that Argoiv is the same as Regev. And we know what the Regev is. That was an area in which they grew oil on the other side of the Jordan. Now everything, and that's what the Mishnah says, everything that you brought in the Mishkan needed to be from the most specialist place. So the oil for the Mishkan, oil they used, I said for the korbanos, but they used oil for the menorah, right? Where did they get the oil for the menorah? They used the olive oil for the menorah. Where did they use it from? So the Mishnah says they used it from Tekoa. Then there is another opinion that says that they brought it from Regev. And the Rebbe says that this Argoiv, the Rebbe's father says that, is that same Regev. That Regev is Argoiv. That's a, wow, that's a Chiddush. I mean, nobody says that. You're not going to find it, not in the Eben Ezra, not in the Ramban, not in the Sephorno, not in Orach Chaim. Nobody says that. The Rebbe's father says that when the Mishnah talks about the oil they brought from Regev, it's Argoiv. The fact that there's an olive over here doesn't bother us. But nevertheless, as the Rebbe says, either they called it Argoiv because of the palace that Rashi says, or they called it Argoiv because of the oil. And the Rebbe brings the Mishnah that says that the oil from Argoiv was secondary, according to one opinion, was secondary to the oil from Tekoa. The first oil, the first choice, was Tekoa. The second choice was Argoiv. Why is... And that's only one opinion. So one opinion says you can only bring oil from Tekoa. There's no second choice. But this other rabbi says you can bring also from Regev, from Argoiv, you can bring from there as well. It's not the first choice, but it's still a second choice. So what's the difference? And the Rebbe goes through the whole idea of oil, what it means, but the big difference is this comes from the other side of the Jordan. And the Tekoa, that's Israel proper. And the Rebbe discusses the whole thing, that the holiness of Israel proper is much greater than the holiness that is on the other side, even though it's also holy, but it's not at the same level. So the Rebbe talks about oil as representing humility and subjugation to Hashem. Oil that comes from Israel is a much more powerful than the oil that comes from outside of even of the Eber HaYarden. It's not as strong because it's on the outside. And the Rebbe says, while the room had oil and wine, it was a mixture. Wine usually represents intellect, enjoyment. That represents it. But oil actually represents humility. Oil burns quietly, softly, doesn't make lots of noise. It represents, I mean, it's a long discussion over there. But the point, the Rebbe says, we got to bring the oil and the wine in the same room. He quotes from the Mishnah over there. You know, in the service of Hashem, we need two things. We need to serve Hashem with excitement. We need fire. We need enthusiasm. We need to be perked up. We need to serve God. If we understand, if our mind appreciates it, then we can do things with a lot more energy. When we learn Torah, if we understand what we're learning, we get excited about it. It gives us the desire to learn more and to understand more. But at the same time, we also know that we need to learn Torah with humility. We need to learn Torah with subjugation. We need to appreciate and say that Torah is Hashem's Torah. And therefore, we need to have the proper respect. We need to realize that it's not just our intellect, but Hashem is the one that authored the Torah. It's His wisdom, it's His will that's in the Torah. So one thinks, you know, before you start learning Torah, you make a bracha, you say, I bless you Hashem for giving me the Torah. Okay, done. But what happens after you start learning Torah? Over there you put your mind into what you're learning, and you even forget that it's Hashem's Torah, Chas v'Shalom. You're just learning it. The idea of putting the wine and the oil, the taste, the thing that helps you, that makes you high. The learning Torah makes you high. The enjoyment comes together with the oil. They both work together. You work together so that in your excitement, in your enthusiasm, you never forget and you always remember it's in the same room, that this is Hashem's Torah, to stay humble and to stay modest and to appreciate and to recognize. You know, like Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the greatest person, he was the greatest prophet, he spoke to God directly, he was on the mountain, he didn't eat or drink for 40, and yet he was at the same time, he was the humblest person and the same person. He was the greatest and the humblest at the same time. He had the wine and the oil together. He had the greatest level and the greatest point, but the wine, same time he was humble. The same thing is the approach to everything. The Rebbe ties this into this parsha, to this argoy, which is the regev, which is the oil, and which is the level of humility and the level of appreciation of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. But sometimes even the secondary to Eretz Yisrael, like the Eber HaYarden on the other side, that could be used as well as a secondary, not as a first, but it can still be used which tells us if a person cannot reach the highest level, you can use a secondary level. And that will also, as long as you do the best as you can at your level, that will bring you close to Hashem. You know, we are finding ourselves in a very difficult time right now. And the problem is, I think, is that we are being scared. This is part of the terror that is used against the Jewish people to terrorize them, is to keep on making them wait for an attack that is coming, to make them scared and to come up with all kinds of what they're doing and what this one is doing. And while the people who physically, the army and the general, the people that are in charge of protecting Israel, they should do whatever possibly they can to protect us, to protect the Jewish people, to defend us against all enemies. And we should do whatever we can to learn more Torah, to do more mitzvahs, to do acts of kindness. But it's incumbent of us not to get scared, not to terrorize us, not to terror. This is part of the tools in their arsenal that they're trying to use against us. Here you see, we just celebrated Yud Beis Tammuz, and we see that really the victory of Torah, of Yidden, of Yiddishkeit, nothing is going to happen. The Jewish people will have a clear victory. But that fear that they're putting in our hearts doesn't do anything. But if we're scared and they're terrorizing us by putting the fear, and there are so many people that are actually going into the hospital, not because they're injured physically, but emotionally, because they're hurt because of the fear. We have to sort of stay very strong in our trust of Hashem. The fear doesn't add to our safety. It doesn't add, is not a deterrent. It only makes us lose hope. It makes it hard for us. We have to encourage each other. We have to remind each other. We have to go back and remember that Hashem neither sleeps nor slumbers. They're preparing and they're saying nothing is going to happen to hurt us. We are going to protect. I'm not saying, you know, there's unfortunately every day there is casualties and there is terror attacks and there is terrorists and they're doing terrible, terrible things. But this extra fear that they're trying to, that's part of the terror. And we're not going to give in. We're going to say, as we do in every morning, Al tiro mipachat pisam, utsu eitza v'sufar dabru davar v'la yokum, ki manu keil. You can be consulting and conniving and coming up with all kinds of plans. Utsu eitza. You're meeting with the Russians and they're meeting with this. I don't even know if it's true. The media, the thing, they're just putting things out. Everybody is trying to show that they know the information there. Everybody is guessing and everybody knows the attack is going to come tomorrow, it's going to come next week, it's going to come on Tisha. Everybody is talking. This is they don't know nothing. Utsu Eitzo. They can be counseling whatever they want, Visufar. It will be taken apart. It doesn't matter even. Dabru Dovar Vilayakum. You can say what you want, it will not come to fruition. We have to stay strong. The way for us to be victorious is by staying strong. Remembering that Ein lanu lehishoyin ela avinu v'shev ha-shamayim. We can only rely on Hashem. Hashem has protected us. Hashem will protect us and is protecting us in the present. We have to encourage and stay strong and not feel that, oh no, everything is coming to an end, God forbid. So we see here the Jewish people conquered all the lands. Hashem gave us all the tools, the Mishkan, the menorah. Hashem told us to go to Israel, to live in Israel, and to make a difference in the world. And hopefully we will merit that the whole world will see, open their eyes, the great miracles, that here we have this little tiny Jewish nation with just a limited amount of people, and we have all of the world ganging up. Hashem will be his ki imanu keil al tira mepachat pisam. Hopefully to hear only good news and only victory, and should be in a way that, you know, not even one casualty is too much, and maybe they'll have a change of heart, and Hashem will show a miracle, and the Jewish people can sleep without any worries.